From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to the world's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. We'll have some open lines for you later this hour. Hope you had a wonderful Halloween. Also listening to Art's Ghost to Ghost. By the way, Thanksgiving Thursday, I'll be here. We'll have a live program for you on that holiday night, as well as that following Friday. Christmas Day, I'll be live for you. We'll have a live program. And then on New Year's Eve, falls on a Sunday, so Art will do his traditional prediction show on New Year's Eve for you as we roll into 2007. Boy, do those years click by. Next hour, Memoirs of a Psychic Spy with remote viewer number one, Joseph McMonagle. He is one of the best in the world. Well, I'm sure over the weekend and all day today, you've heard about the foot in the mouth by John Kerry. As a matter of fact, I think it has killed any hopes for him to decide if he was going to try to get the Democratic nomination for the presidency in 2008. It's not going to happen. Kerry basically over the weekend just put his foot in his mouth 2 days ago. He stirred a controversy when he told a group of California students that individuals who don't study hard and do their homework would likely get stuck in Iraq. Aide said the senator had mistakenly dropped one word from his prepared remarks, which was originally written to say, they say, you end up getting us stuck in a war in Iraq. Doesn't matter. It went all over the place. Even Democrats started running away from John Kerry. So it's going to be interesting to see what it does, what those remarks do to the midterm elections that will be on Tuesday of next week. Iran will offer cash incentives to travel agencies to around the world to encourage primarily Western tourists to visit the country, giving a premium for Americans. This is a bizarre story. The Islamic Republic's political leadership has been trying to reach out to Americans to show that a standoff over Iran's nuclear ambitions is with the Bush administration, not with you. The latest initiative comes as the United Nations Security Council deliberates on a draft resolution that would impose sanctions on Iran for its disputed nuclear program. Iran's tourism department will pay $20 per person to travel agencies to those who attract European or American tourists to the country. That's $20. That's it. As a matter of fact, only $10 for Europeans, $20 for Americans. That's a strange story. In Reno, Nevada, a woman was arrested on arson and murder charges after a fire swept through a three-story hotel in Reno's downtown casino district, killing six people, injuring a dozen others. They have no idea why she did this. San Francisco, 10 shot at a San Francisco Halloween party, gunfire breaking out between two groups at a massive Halloween street party in the city's Castro district, wounding at least 10 people, including innocent bystanders there. In Oil City, Pennsylvania, letter carriers, man, they see it all. Occasionally, they have to deal with angry dogs, maybe even a spider's nest in a mailbox. But how about a mean squirrel? That's what happened to a 30-year postal employee, Barb Doherty. She was attacked and bitten by a squirrel while delivering mail on Allegheny Avenue in Oil City, Pennsylvania. She said she saw the squirrel on the porch when she put mail in the box, but when she turned to walk away, the squirrel attacked her. But I'm still getting a lot of reports from weird animal attack stories. Very strange. In Jacksonville, Florida, a woman accused of duct taping her two children together and leaving them home alone has been charged with child abuse. Her name is Agia Nadia Vincent, 25 years old. She was arrested after a seven-month investigation into whether she left her two boys, then aged 2 and 3, taped to each other while she went to work. A young woman in the United Kingdom has put her eggs up for sale on the internet to pay off $28,000 of credit card debts. Alexandra Saunders posted her details on a website here in the United States after reading about the huge amount that can be made in a woman's magazine. The 26-year-old, who already has three jobs to try to pay off her debts, thought it would be an easy way to make money. It is illegal for a woman to sell her eggs within the United Kingdom, but egg donation is big business here in the United States, where childless couples pay up to sometimes $38,000 for the eggs of a young, healthy woman. In Amsterdam, a Dutch woman who had very meticulously planned her own funeral after the death of her husband last year died next to the grave in Amsterdam where she wanted to be buried. The 65-year-old widow probably, they say, died of a heart attack while she was visiting the family grave where her name was. Astronauts aboard the International Space Station restored the outpost oxygen generator after a series of repair efforts by cosmonaut Mikhail Turin, a flight engineer with the space station's Expedition 14 crew, worked with the Russian mission controllers to bring the orbital laboratory's oxygen generator back online. And the Space Shuttle Discovery will pay the Hubble Space Telescope a final servicing call sometime in 2008. The new plan reverses a decision made by former NASA Administrator Sean O'Keefe in the wake of the Columbia disaster that such a mission would be too risky to attempt. Well, Michael Griffin has announced that they're going to go ahead with a mission to kind of repair and fix the shuttle. But in a moment, we'll talk with Richard C. Hoagland. Why are we going to wait so long to get this done? He's next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, as we're going to talk about the space shuttle Hubble now, Richard C. Hoagland is in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where he is toiling away, working and editing the first set of the DVDs from his Joshua Tree conference. We'll talk about that as we wrap things up with Richard this hour. Richard, how are you?
Good evening, George. I'm great. I'm sitting here under a kind of a first quarter moon in Santa Fe, having an extraordinary time doing the fun, creative part that you saw a bit of when you were at Joshua Tree.
I tell you what, I'm in St. Louis for another week and a half, and it is really getting cold out here, too.
It's
clear
cold
skies.
Here tonight.
Man, it is crispy. Hey, Richard, question about Hubble. It's good news. You and I have been talking about this for months now,
it's
about the possibilities.
News,
but why push it off until 2008?
Scheduling.
You don't think it's an election ploy?
Nope. The Hubble rescue mission is very complex. It actually harkens back when I was covering NASA at CBS. It's a very gutsy decision that Mike Griffin has made, because there has been this incredible built-up public expectation that the shuttle is a death trap and is going to fall apart at any second. And so to send it into an orbit where it cannot get to the space station to wait out a rescue, it has to basically go into space by itself, you know, find the Hubble, rendezvous with it, repair it, let it go, and then come home. And the heat shield and all the tiles and all that have to function perfectly. And if there is a problem when they do the inspections with the new booms and all that, the shuttle will have about 25 days of life support, so the astronauts could stay in orbit for almost a month while NASA prepares a second shuttle to launch on need, an LON mission as they call it, to go up and rescue them. So you could have something like 11 to 13 astronauts in one shuttle coming home, and there's an extremely complicated procedure for grappling the two shuttles together with their robotic arms and then transferring spacesuits back and forth and crew members back and forth, and the captain is the last to leave the ship and all that. There's a very complicated procedure, and they actually haven't worked out all the kinks yet. So they put this in what they call the manifest in early 2008, May of 2008. It could be moved earlier depending upon their active moment-by-moment monitoring of the Hubble systems, but as it is now scheduled, it will be STS mission 125, Discovery, in May of 2008.
Is it that risky to install these two new instruments up there, the Cosmic Origins spectrograph and the camera they're going to put in there?
No, that's kind of perfunctory. I mean, I don't want to say anything in space is nominal, but that's pretty... I mean, they've done now, four or five of these servicing missions, and the change-out crews are going to have one of the astronauts that's been on four previous Hubble servicing missions. They've got some rookies. They've got some, good guys piloting the spacecraft. The real risk comes because they're in an orbit that cannot get them to the space station if something should go wrong. Remember back when Columbia had that horrible tragedy the night that we did our all-night special, and we had
that.
All those guests on?
Sure.
And I said it was a shame that they hadn't calculated a way to do that orbit in a way they could safely get to ISIS if they had to. Well, after that, NASA planners realized that the shuttle was in its waning years, that the TPS, the thermal protection system, was fragile. Even if they solved the tank foam problem and foam falling off on launch and hitting the tile and causing problems, they still had a finite probability that a micrometeorite zipping along at, 66,000 miles an hour could hit a tile and cause a hole and could basically doom the mission if they didn't find it and repair it. So sending a shuttle up by itself in an orbit that goes nowhere near the space station, nor can it because of the limited fuel even the shuttle now can carry, carries with it a certain amount of risk. And they have worked very hard to, by the numbers, drive the risk down to where Mike Griffin could say with some good engineering and science behind him, we are ready to go do this to extend the life of this national treasure. And frankly, George, this is an incredibly positive move because it means that there's a NASA can-do spirit, once again, in my favorite agency, which is we're the best, we're going to do with the best, and we will prevail.
Well, I'm sure every astronaut is jumping for joy at the possibilities of being the one chosen to go and do the work on the Hubble, because I think it's a great mission. And astronomers must be delighted as well tonight, Richard.
Well, astronomers, of course, are thrilled because Hubble is really irreplaceable. People keep talking about when they bring the Webb Space Telescope online back in 2013, but it's not going to be a replacement. It's going to be an infrared telescope. It doesn't really have capability of seeing invisible light, and so it will actually be inferior in many ways to the Hubble that we have and love and, we watched over the years produce some stunning, images. For instance, in this studio where I'm sitting now tonight, Lori and I edited most of the graphics, those incredible space graphics you saw in God, Man, and E.T., from Hubble photography. It is a national, actually it's an international treasure, and I am as thrilled as anybody else that they're going to actually go in this gutsy move and save it.
Why the reversal? Why reverse one NASA head's decision? He's out now. Sean O'Keefe is gone. And now Mike Griffin has basically overruled this after polling, I think, a number of people and getting some good advice. And I think you have a lot to do with this as well, Richard C., when you asked a number of Coast to Coast listeners over the last year or so to keep inundating NASA with emails.
Well,
what do you think contributed? What happened?
I think it comes down to the man. I think it's Mike Griffin. Remember, Mike Griffin is a rocket scientist. He is a real engineer. He knows all the details. He eats, breathes, sleeps, and lives space. Sean O'Keefe, give him his due, was basically an accountant. He came from the U.S. Navy. He came from, a background in basically bookkeeping. He was a manager. He was not a rocket scientist. And he didn't have a feel, as, what was it, I forget who that writer was, called the feeling for the organism. He didn't have a feel for all the intricacies. He couldn't get a sense of what was possible with the technology in hand. And frankly, after Columbia, I think he was spooked. I think he was gun-shy, and he was going to do everything in his power to preserve NASA. And Mike Griffin's vision is a little different. He's thinking about preserving the space program, and NASA is part of a bigger mission for him, and I'm 100% behind him.
I notice this is going to be a $900 million mission. Money well spent,
just a little pocket change.
A billion here, a billion there.
And as Dirksen said, it soon adds up.
Well, I know your pal Philip Plate is delighted with this, too. We talked to Philip a couple weeks ago about all of this, and astronomers, I think, worldwide are excited that Hubble, regardless of how you guys all feel about each other, I think this is a common good here.
I think if we could ever get Phil on the show, we would absolutely agree this is the best thing to happen in the space program in the last maybe year or two.
Yeah.
And the cool part is that the instruments they're putting on this thing are going to extend the vision and extend the efficiency like two or three times. I mean, this really is the spaceship, the telescope that will not die. And now that it's being given a chance to do what it was designed to do, to be modified and extended and basically improved by human astronauts with the shuttle system, it'll give us incredible new images, new data. It'll break new ground. It will raise many more questions. And that's exactly what this agency, what NASA and the Hubble are supposed to do, and tonight I'm a very happy camper.
You know, Hubble has thrown off some spectacular photos, but my very favorite one is the one where they pointed into the darkness of space. You couldn't see anything with a naked eye, and then you could see hundreds of other galaxies out there. Not just stars, Richard, but other galaxies. It's just amazing.
This is the ultra-deep field where they basically pointed into a little tiny patch of sky that you could cover with your little fingernail if you hold your hand at arm's length. Tinier than the moon, you know, like a tenth or a hundredth the size of the moon. And they just exposed and exposed and exposed for hundreds and hundreds of hours. And the deeper they look, the more photons they absorbed, the more galaxies show up. I mean, it really shows that we live in this incredible, almost limitless cosmos. And to imagine, you know, switching gears slightly, that we're the only conscious beings looking up at our nighttime planetary skies, that we're it. I mean, When you look at that picture and you see more galaxies in that picture than there are stars in all of the skies of Earth, you really get a sense of perspective, and that's why Hubble is this incredible treasure. Someone said, I think it was Barbara McCluskey the other day, they said that Hubble is the best telescope since Galileo invented the telescope, and that's not really hyperbole. That's for real.
It sure is. Hey, tell me, what's new on the EnterpriseMission.com website?
At the very top tonight, we have a new Joshua Tree banner. For all of you folks who missed what we did in that marvelous desert setting that I'm looking at on all these screens around here, we have put up tonight a live audio iPod downlink. You simply click on the banner, and it will take you right to a way that you can log on and get this 2.5 hours, first 2.5 hours from the Joshua Tree experience weekend. And then Lori and I are working almost around the clock, not quite, but almost, to try to get by Christmas, by the first week in December, the first DVDs in color and stereo and really some marvelous stuff that we talked about that sets the context for our entire 2012 weekend experience. And we hope to have that ready in about 2 or 3 weeks.
I trust you edited me out, Richard.
Edited you out. Actually, how we're going to treat the George and Dick show, we haven't decided yet.
Good. There's a toll-free number. Those of you who do not have a computer, it's 1-800-900-7030. Very easy to remember. 1-800-900-7030. Well, that's exciting news. You know, your projects are always just moving ahead.
We had such response to Joshua Tree. So many people, of course, heard about, you know, the lunar robot that we showed.
Yes.
And in fact, remember how I said that I'd hope that by doing that, by talking about it at Joshua Tree and then talking about it with you, we would spur some NASA people to maybe slip me a disc? I got an email from a very, very old friend of mine that I have not talked to deep inside NASA for over 10 years. We haven't connected yet.
Where's
he been?
But he
specifically said in his email, to some of my people, he said, make sure you tell him that it's so-and-so who worked with him on the Face on Mars at NASA. So maybe there's some new news there, and the next time I talk to you, I might have more progress on that part of the story.
I would still love for you to show this picture directly to either Cernan or Schmidt and get their reaction to it.
We're working on that, too.
Well, Richard, other than all these other things that you've been doing, you know, we're moving ahead now into the holiday season. Isn't it remarkable at how fast the time has been going with all of us?
Again, to call up an old friend of ours, you know, Art, when he wrote that book, The Quickening, I don't know whether he really understood this physics I talk about, but in the hyperdimensional model, the idea that time is flowing faster and faster, and the perception that we are moving at an accelerated rate into the future is not just a perception, but is actually for real, certainly seems to me to be extremely real. I mean, I remember just yesterday, you and I were talking about the year that was going to be 2006.
Yeah.
And now I look back and there it is. We're kind of waving at it in the back window. Where has the time gone?
As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to open up a hotline this Friday night during Open Lines about time travel and speed of time, just to get people's perceptions, because it really is going by fast. When I was 20, and I'm 56 now, I thought 56 was the end of time, Richard. I mean, it seemed so far away, I couldn't even think about it.
Hey,
now,
I have a couple of years on you there. I know exactly how you feel.
Thanks, Richard. Good luck out there.
You too.
All right, that's Richard C. Hoagland giving us an update on the Space Shuttle Hubble. It's great news. Those of you who love science, they're going to rescue the Hubble in, so far, May of 2008. We've got open lines for you now for the rest of this program. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And here's that wild card line, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Well, my week is thrown off. You know, with our doing the Tuesday night Halloween Ghost to Ghost, today feels like Monday for me. It's Wednesday into Thursday, but it's really strange. You know, when you take a day off like that in the middle of the week, it just throws everything off. Hey, we are giving away a classic, double classic CD series of Malachi Martin interviews. They are absolutely compelling. You get them with a subscription to the After Dark newsletter. A couple of years ago, we had one of these CDs, and we gave them away with a subscription. Well, we found another program. I mean, these are old. And on exorcisms and possession, take advantage of it. You just pay a nominal shipping and handling fee when you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter just to get those CDs to your doorstep. Call 1-888-727-5505 or you can go online at coasttocoastam.com. Well, you know, I'm sure most of you have cell phones now, but have you noticed how many people are text messaging instead of making phone calls? I mean, it is absolutely incredible. But I have noticed that in text messaging, the battery life of these phones, these cell phones, seems to die a little quicker than when you're just on the phone talking to someone. At least that's my perception. Fast blast me, those of you who are in the know on this. Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Oh, hi, George. I'm calling you from the Big 550 listening on the station you used to be on.
Oh, you're in St. Louis. Okay, yeah, there's another one out
fact,
there
in
Cincinnati.
Right down,
hi.
Yeah, I'm right down the street from you, in fact. But anyway, you know, they're making a political thing out of the human cloning here in Missouri.
Oh, sure.
And
Amendment 2.
Years ago, you had a guest on from the Raelian Society. Remember that interview you did?
We did that. I think Art may have done that.
No, it was you. It was you here in St. Louis. It was a Saturday afternoon. I couldn't believe it. It was a
while. Oh, no, no. Not, you mean not on Coast to Coast?
No, it was okay. When you were here at the Big 550.
Yes, it was on my local show.
Yeah. Whatever happened to them, because I haven't heard a word. They said that they had actually done it on some secret island or something.
They said that they had cloned two babies, and I don't think it was ever proven. I doubted it. A lot of other people did. They seem to have faded away. I mean, they were in the news every day.
I know. And that's why I thought maybe you could help me, because I haven't heard a thing about them since I heard that interview with you.
I would have to go back and pull out some of my old contacts on that, which I will try to do, and find the Raelians and find out what they're up to. That could be an interesting interview. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hi.
Hello. Yeah,
hi.
Go ahead. How are you?
Hi, George. It's Jim from San Diego.
Get you.
Hi. I just called to talk to you about the everything that's going on with the SPP. .org and the American border and everything.
Yeah, those are the websites that Jerry Corsi talks a lot about.
Oh yeah, he's got some great information on his website and everything. And also, you've talked with Alex Jones before, and he's been really involved with your show quite a few times.
Yes,
when you had him on back in the spring. I had a specific question I'd like to get answered. He had said something about at one point, back when the ports were were going on, the port deals that still haven't been fixed.
Dubai, yep.
Yeah. You had him on one night, and I heard him talk about the Iraqi Republican Guard troops that may be stationed somewhere at one of the military bases in the United States. And I was just calling to inquire where he thought those guys might be stationed.
Well, there's a lot of NATO troops here in the United States, and Alex briefly mentioned that many, many months ago.
Yeah, it was quite a few. But, I'm also a streamer.
We're going to be doing an update. We're going to be doing an update with Alex, so maybe he can update us on that.
Yeah, I'm a Streamlink member, and I really love listening to that on the show there.
How do you like podcasting? Do you use that the next day?
Yeah, I found that to be great.
Yeah, that's a great tool. Hey, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, George. Hello, John here on the West Coast of Canada. Hope you're doing
hey,
well.
I am well. Thank you.
So we'd send our best thoughts to all your veterans and serving men and women, given that Remembrance Day is coming up in the near future. October 11th.
Appreciate that. That's
October 11th. Yeah, my family's got 145 years in the service, five generations.
They've been way back.
Yeah, back to the Crimean War and a little before there.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if you're aware, significantly, that there's about 110,000 dead service people from the first Gulf War, and about 56% of them are ailing quite severely. And I think the spent plutonium issue is very bad for all parties concerned. I'm just wondering if your producers might want to sink their teeth into that and go after some more details on those issues.
Well, you know, we have done that with Joyce Riley, and we did a show on the expended plutonium. The uranium, rather.
Yeah.
And she continues to update us on those kinds of stories. And you are right. A lot of the servicemen and women have died, not in combat.
No.
They died afterwards from these horrible symptoms.
Yeah, yeah. And I know there's some goings on with the Veterans Administration. Somebody just recently quit. And I just think, you know, it'd be better for all parties concerned if we could just get a little more help to the veterans and make sure that they're not being victims of some cutbacks and stuff, because they've paid the ultimate price, and I think
they are being victims of cutbacks. There's no doubt about
that. Yeah, well, we should rattle some cages to get that turned around.
That's part of the plate. We always do that. Thanks for calling. Next up, Wildcard Line, you're up. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, hello, George. This is Marvin from Nebraska. And with this recent John Kerry controversy, what he said about what he allegedly said about the troops over in Iraq, what's been going through my mind, I don't know if I'm alone on this, is Skull and Bones. I don't know if he's trying to do this so that the Democratic Party looks bad, so you know the Republican Party can win.
Nah, he's screwed up. You know, he apologized today.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, he's cooked for any presidential bid that he would like to take, and he's done. And the question is will these remarks affect Tuesday's election or not? I mean, he claimed that he passed on a joke that he screwed up. And that is the death knell to so many politicians these days, because everything's captured on either tape or on video, and this one got him, and it's unfortunate for him, and time to move on. But I think there's a lesson here for everybody. Whether you support wars or not is not the issue here. You need to support our troops, and we may not agree in war. As a matter of fact, I hate war. I spent 9 years with the Navy. I hate war. But you have to defend your troops, because they're the ones that are putting their lives on the line, and you know, Kerry's blunder cooked him, and we'll see if it cooks others. First time caller line, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
How you doing, George?
Well, life is good.
It's good for you. Well, I was listening to it earlier when the fellow was talking about the Hubble telescope and stuff going to get repaired again and whatnot. But, you know, the Hubble was obsolete when it was put up there. But when he started talking about infrared and different light spectrums, not being as good as the Hubble. Well, that's not necessarily true, because some of this hardware that they're putting on now is going to enable us to change those spectrums of light.
That's true. Well, he mentioned that, too. They're going to put a new spectrograph on there. I think the Hubble's been a great workhorse, and I think it'll live on for several more years after they go up there and fix it.
Well, I wish they'd really think about putting software in it that's even more up-to-date than they're going to do.
Well, you know what? Who knows what's going to happen in the future with the Hubble as more innovative ideas come through. They may decide to keep fixing it for years and years and years if it keeps functioning.
Oh, yeah. I've built tools, and I authenticate antiques and things of that nature. And I use a lot of different light spectrums.
What's the oldest antique you have authenticated?
Pardon me?
What's the oldest, antique? Yeah.
Actually not authenticated, but disproved.
Disproved. Oh, was it forgery?
Yeah, it sure was. It was signed and the person's name on it, 1714. And the person that supposedly had signed it had not. He wasn't even born until 60 years later.
That's how you caught him, huh?
Well, not just that. The first thing that I caught was that the pencil that had been used as a signature was graphite, not lead.
Big difference. They didn't have that available then, did they? Hey, thanks.
No, I told the folks, you know, there's...
You know what? How many people would have caught that, though? Good for you. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good, George. My name is Mike. I'm a truck driver here in New York.
There you are. Now, whereabouts in New York are you right now?
Actually, I'm at 81 northbound heading to Syracuse, about 15 miles north of Binghamton.
All right. Well, drive safely. What's on your mind, Mike?
Okay. I got two quick things. Me and my fiance, soon-to-be wife, this actually Friday, moved into an apartment, and she has claimed that she felt what she calls a demon or some kind of presence there. I don't know if I believe her or not. And she says it kind of looks like me, but it's a shadow person. So I'm not sure if it's a ghost or what it is, but to the point where our 10-month-year-old nephew pointed to the bedroom where she says this thing is and won't go in. Even though we're calling him, he won't come. He's terrified. She says she smells what she calls like a Mexican food kind of smell, and it's really strange because I had a dream that in the kitchen I saw a older grandmother, kind of a Spanish woman with her grandson in the kitchen. And I don't know if this has any correlation to it, but it's kind of scary because she says she's seen this ghost or this spirit that kind of looks like me several times now.
Well, you know, there's too many things going on here, Mike. You know, I don't believe in coincidences. And when you throw in your dream, your wife-to-be's thoughts, and then the little 10-year-old's thoughts, that's pretty strange.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty, no, 10-month-old, and it's...
10-month-old. Okay.
And like we've talked before, you know, the child's intuition to see something or feel something makes me really think that there might be something there. And it's kind of, it's really, really nerve-wracking. So I don't know if it's a demon or spirit or ghost, shadow person. I don't really know if you have any ideas on that. Or
Well, first of all, when you say scary, do you feel threatened?
I don't know if I feel threatened, but my heart starts to race sometimes. And I'm not a little guy. I'm not really scared of things. But, I mean, I get terrified to get a glass of water at night now thinking about this.
Yeah.
You know, really, it's really bizarre. And, you know, my mother-in-law, she stays with us, and she felt something.
Well, and maybe, how much are you paying a month for this apartment?
About $850.
Can you find another place with comparable dollars?
Probably. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Sometimes it's better just to move out if you can.
Yeah. This is kind of scary. And one quick other issue. I woke up with a series of numbers in a dream. And I don't know if they have any meaning. It's 5379, and they have been stuck in my head for about a month now. And I don't know if you have any idea if those mean anything, or if that's a bad number, good number, or just indifferent.
You know, I don't know, but I'm going to play the lottery with these numbers one day. You never know. I think Missouri has a pick 4. I haven't played the lottery out here in years. But I think they do. At least they used to. Let's move to west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. Where are you calling from?
Called from Santa Barbara. Harvard, California.
There you are. Okay, Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, your show rocks, by the way.
Well, thank you.
It's not particularly mysterious or mystical, but I know why when you're 56, time goes faster.
Well, I'm getting older. That's probably why.
Yeah, well, think about it. When you're 20, part of your life is 1/20th of your life, 1 year. And then when you're 56, it's 1/56 of your life. Anyway, just wanted to...
Hey, wait, you're assuming I'm not going to live to be 1,000.
Well, if you're 1,000, then it would be, like, time would be going really, really fast. Anyway, the 5379, I dreamt about that last night as well.
The same numbers?
Yeah.
We got to play the lottery. I think that's what it could be.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, all right.
Anyway, I love your show. I'm going to let you go.
Thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, East of the Rockies. Hi there. Yeah.
This is Steve. I voted for Kerry. I was in the first Gulf War.
Yeah.
I didn't like him. He was picked by Iowa, and I think they should move the primaries around. I think what he said was really stupid. And it kind of made me think, well, is he really, like the previous caller said, is he really like Skull and Bones or something? Because that's the most idiotic thing I've ever, that I've ever, you know,
well,
heard.
He was Skull and Bones. I mean, he was from Yale. I
well,
mean, there's
some,
no doubt
well,
about
that's
that.
Fine, but...
I just think he screwed up. I mean, he just put his foot in his mouth, said something stupid, and it's going to haunt him for a long time.
Yeah, and he should have known that this close to the election that all these smear campaigns would come out, and that's all you've been hearing on the right-wing nut radio.
It's
is,
amazing.
You know, all this, Kerry, you know, all this, what he's saying. I mean, why did he do that? Just shut your mouth, Kerry, and at least he won't be, you know, trying for a presidential bid in 08.
This opens up the door for Hillary Clinton, unless there's some dark horse that's going to come out of nowhere.
Oh, God. So we've got 25 years of the Bush and Clinton sort of legacy. No, Hillary, don't run. We need some fresh. We need something fresh in there. I wanted Dean to get in there.
Yeah, but see, even he screwed up. Did you remember that picture that Matt Drudge had on the Drudge Report?
Yeah, that's what Matt Drudge
He looked like
does.
A maniac.
Mayor's Democrat.
No, he's, you know, I know
that's
Matt real well. He
job.
Just
he
points it right
plot,
out.
He gets the faxes from the RNC.
Yeah, but
so
Howard Dean,
those.
That look on his face, that was real.
I know, and I loved it. It gave me energy. I loved his rebel yell.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. We all do.
This is going to be
What's
an interesting race, huh? 2008 is going to be an interesting race.
Yeah, it sure will be. And this one will be, too, because despite what this idiot, you know, who I had to vote for last time, despite what this idiot's done, we're going to take it. Landslide.
Well, who's we now? What side
All of us
want?
On the left.
All right.
Liberal.
Well, hey, here's the thing. We're all Americans. And, gosh, so many people. You know, you hear these talk shows every day. Left, right. We're Americans. We're in the kettle together, folks. Let's not forget that. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. That's very simple. Just get it right to me. We go through these things all the time. We being me and my other Gemini. That's what I am. And went out this weekend, and somebody said, you know what? You really do act like a Gemini. There are two of you out at the same time. I never knew that before. Maybe it's my doppelganger. By the way, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who was our guest just a few days ago, sent me an email, and she said, George, you're right about doppelgangers. I didn't know that they were also potentially evil. I thought they were just all good. No, no, you're right. I did some checking. Your doppelganger, which is out there, is evil. We'll be back in a moment with our very special guest tonight, remote viewer number one.